The Lord be with you.
Good morning and welcome to worship at First Presbyterian Church. A special welcome to visitors who are with us this morning. Everyone is invited to take the red pew pads and to sign those. Pass them along and help your neighbor as needed. There are some announcements in the bulletin that I would draw your attention to. Our summer study series continues this evening. This summer we are studying the Lord's Prayer. And you are invited to join us if you're interested. That study begins at 7 o'clock here at the church. PW meets on Monday, and newsletter articles are also due by Monday. So if you have something for the newsletter, please make sure that you submit it to the church office as soon as possible. Next Sunday is a Change It Up Sunday. It's a fifth Sunday, five Sundays this month. So you're invited to sit in a different place. The red buckets will be out on the windowsills, and you can make donations there. You can see the information in your bulletin, though, that the red buckets will remain for the summer as we will be collecting for Church World Service. Hi. Oh, sure. $5 in the red bucket. The red buckets will be staying out, though, for the duration of the summer, and we will be receiving gifts in the red buckets that the deacons and the mission committee will be using when we have Mission Sunday in the fall in order to pack cleanup buckets for Church World Service. So if you are interested and able to support that mission, we invite you to do so. There's still information in your bulletins about the summer program for youth and volunteering with the summer program for youth, specifically the week of July 8th through 12th, which is Presbyterian Volunteer Week. So if you're able to volunteer around the lunch hour in terms of preparation, serving, cleanup, or reading to the youth who participate in SPI, we invite you to do that. If you're able to host a fellowship time as well, the sign-up sheet is in the fellowship hall today after worship. And finally, on the insert, you can see evidence of your generosity to the deacons in their program, Dinner for Dads, which is one of their main fundraisers. And thank you to everyone who donated. We raised over $1,000 in just two Sundays. For the deacons to use in many of their projects, not least of which is serving my brother's table at the Salvation Army. So thank you to everyone who participated. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice together and be glad in it as we worship God. Please stand as we worship God together. Oh, send out your light and your truth. Let them lead me. Let them bring me to your holy hill and to your dwelling. Then I will go to the altar of God, to God my exceeding joy. And I will praise you with the harp, O God, my God. say we are without sin, we do deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. The scripture teaches us that if we confess our sins, then God, who is faithful and just, will forgive us, will cleanse us, will claim us as his own. Therefore, together, let us pray. Most holy and merciful Father, we confess to you and to one another that we have sinned against you by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart and mind and strength. We have not fully loved our neighbors as ourselves. We have not always had in us the mind of Christ. You alone know how often we have grieved you by wasting your gifts, by wandering from your ways. Forgive us, we pray you, most merciful Father, and free us from our sin. Renew in us the grace and strength of your Holy Spirit, for the sake of Jesus Christ, your Son, our Savior. Amen. Hear the good news. Who is in a position to condemn? Only Christ. And Christ died for us. Christ rose for us. Christ reigns in power for us. Christ prays for us. Anyone who is in Christ is a new creation. The old life has gone. Behold, a new life is begun. Hear and believe the good news of the gospel. In Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. Amen. Just as God has forgiven us in Christ Jesus, let us also forgive one another and offer signs of peace and reconciliation. The peace of Christ be with you.
As the forgiven children of God, let us pray together that we hear the word the Lord has for each one of us today. Please pray with me. Almighty God,
you are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Open our eyes that we may see the wonders of your word, and give us grace that we may clearly understand and freely choose our Lord. Amen.
Good morning. The first lesson is from Luke chapter 8, verses 26 to 39. Generally, at this point, they say you can follow along in your pew Bible on page 68 of the New Testament. But with your permission, I'll be reading from a New International Version, which was a little easier for me to understand. It had more nouns and fewer pronouns. So. The healing of a demon-possessed man. They sailed to the region of the Gerasenes, which is across the lake from Galilee. When Jesus stepped ashore, he was met by a demon-possessed man from the town. For a long time, this man had not worn clothes or lived in a house, but had lived in the tombs. When he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell at his feet, shouting at the top of his voice, "What do you want with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beg you, don't torture me." For Jesus had commanded the evil spirit to come out of the man. Many times it had seized him, and though he was chained hand and foot and kept under guard, he had broken his chains and had been driven by the demon into solitary places. Jesus asked him, "What is your name?" "Legion," he replied, because many demons had gone into him. And they begged him repeatedly not to order them to go into the abyss. A large herd of pigs was feeding there on the hillside. The demons begged Jesus to let them go into them, and he gave them permission. When the demons came out of the man, they went into the pigs, and the herd rushed down the steep bank into the lake and was drowned. When those tending the pigs saw what had happened, they ran off and reported this in the town and countryside. And the people went out to see what had happened. When they came to Jesus, they found the man from whom the demons had gone out, sitting at Jesus' feet, dressed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. Those who had seen it told the people how the demon-possessed man had been cured. Then all the people of the region of the Gerasenes asked Jesus to leave them because they were overcome with fear. So he got into the boat and left. The man from whom the demons had gone out begged to go with him, but Jesus sent him away saying, "Return home and tell how much God has done for you." So the man went away and told all over town how much Jesus had done for him. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
The second lesson this morning is from the Old Testament, from the book of Joshua, chapter 3, beginning at the first verse. Story of the Israelites finally entering into the promised land. Listen again to God's word. Early in the morning, Joshua rose and set out from Shittim with all the Israelites, and they came to the Jordan. They camped there before crossing over. At the end of 3 days, the officers went through the camp and commanded the people, "When you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God being carried by the Levitical priests, then you shall set out from your place. Follow it, so that you may know the way you should go, for you have not passed this way before. Yet there shall be a space between you and it, a distance of about 2,000 cubits. Do not come any nearer to it." Then Joshua said to the people, "Sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you." To the priests, Joshua said, "Take up the Ark of the Covenant and pass on in front of the people." So they took up the Ark of the Covenant and went in front of the people. The Lord said to Joshua, "This day I will begin to exalt you in the sight of all Israel, so that they may know that I will be with you as I was with Moses. You are the one who shall command the priests who shall bear the Ark of the Covenant. When you come to the edge of the waters of the Jordan, you shall stand still in the Jordan." Joshua then said to the Israelites, "Draw near and hear the words of the Lord your God." Joshua said, "By this you shall know that among you is the living God, who without fail will drive out from before you the Canaanites, Hittites, Hivites, Perizzites, Girgashites, Amorites, and Jebusites. The Ark of the Covenant of the Lord of all the earth is going to pass before you into the Jordan. So now select 12 men from the tribes of Israel, one from each tribe. When the soles of the feet of the priests who bear the Ark of the Lord of all the earth, rest in the waters of the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan flowing from above shall be cut off. They shall stand in a single heap." When the people set out from their tents to cross over the Jordan, the priests bearing the Ark of the Covenant were in front of the people. Now the Jordan overflows all its banks throughout the time of harvest. So when those who bore the ark had come to the Jordan, and the feet of the priests bearing the ark were dipped in the edge of the waters flowing from above stood still, rising in a single heap far off at Adam, the city that is beside Zarethan. While those flowing toward the Sea of the Arabah, the Dead Sea, were wholly cut off, then the people crossed over opposite Jericho. While all Israel were crossing over on dry ground, the priests who bore the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord stood on dry ground in the middle of the Jordan until the entire nation finished crossing over the Jordan. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be pleasing and acceptable in your sight, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Few things are more quintessentially American than the summer road trip. We Americans do love to pack our cars with suitcases and coolers, games and toys, and of course, family, to hit the road and explore this great land of ours. Whether you go to the same beach every year or drive all the way across the country to a new destination, road trips are an important part of who we are and can mark important rites of passage as well in our lives. I still remember one of the first road trips that my family took after I learned to drive and had my license. I was so looking forward to my turn behind the wheel. But my mother wasn't. She was on edge the whole time that I was driving, and she made me so nervous that I couldn't wait to stop and give the keys back to my dad. There are two kinds of people, I think, when it comes to the summer road trip. There are those people who love the journey itself, taking their time to enjoy all the twists and turns in the road, the unexpected stops, the new discoveries. And then there are those people who merely tolerate the journey, driving as fast as they can, stopping only when necessary, because the more you stop, the more you get to drink, which causes you to stop again, right? These are the people who can't wait to get to the destination. I'll leave you to decide which camp you're in. God's people, the Israelites, they've been on this sort of epic road trip as we pick up their story this morning in the book of Joshua. And now they're almost home. In today's lesson, the people are standing on the edge of the promised land, the land that God had promised to their ancestor Abraham so many centuries before. The journey from slavery in Egypt has been long and it has been hard. It has been 40 years wandering in the wilderness. Can you imagine how many times Moses heard, "Are we there yet? Are we there yet?" God has been faithful to his people. The pillars of cloud and fire, God's very presence, have led the people, have protected them by day and by night. And every day God has provided for his people, provided food for their journey, manna in the morning, quail in the evening. And God has given them human leaders. First, it was Moses to teach them God's law, to be the go-between between God and the people. And now, as the people enter the promised land, God has called Joshua to take up Moses' position, to be the new leader of Israel as they finally arrive at their home. Standing at the edge of the promised land, on the other side of the Jordan, Joshua gives the people instructions for this last leg of their journey. When you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God being carried by the priests, then you shall set out from your place. Follow it so that you may know the way you should go, for you have not passed this way before. Follow it. Follow it so that you may know the way you should go, for you have not passed this way before. Those words kept coming back and back again and again in my mind as I was preparing this week. I couldn't help but think about all the different ways we try to figure out where we're going when we're on a road trip. If you're old school, you might still use a road map folded up, maybe, in your glove box. Many of you have probably used a triptych from AAA at some point, but now we have GPS units, and if you have a smartphone, chances are it will give you turn-by-turn directions to get you anywhere you want to go. Maps and GPS units and smartphones are great for going on a road trip, but the Israelites aren't just going to the beach for summer vacation. And neither are we. They're going to the promised land. We're headed towards God's kingdom. As followers of Jesus Christ, we're on the road with him to God's kingdom. We've heard the call to discipleship and responded by becoming part of Christ's body, his hands and feet in this world, here in the church. For centuries, Christians have used the metaphor of a journey to describe what it means to be a follower of Jesus Christ. And maybe that's something that has meaning to you, and maybe it doesn't, I don't know. But we use it rightfully so, because it is prominent in the scriptures. When we see Jesus walking by the Sea of Galilee at the beginning of his earthly ministry, when we see him walking by the Sea of Galilee, Jesus sees Peter and Andrew and James and John, and they are casting and mending their fishing nets. And Jesus simply says to them, "Follow me. Follow me on this road." And that's what they did. That's what Peter and Andrew and James and John and the others, that's what they did for the rest of their lives. They were on the road with Jesus, following him, sort of like how the Israelites followed the Ark of the Covenant into the Promised Land. I've been thinking a lot lately about what it means to follow God, to follow Jesus. It's not always easy. God doesn't speak to us the way he did to the Israelites, or the way Jesus spoke and interacted with his disciples. We have to listen carefully to hear God's voice today, and that can be hard, very hard, in our noisy, busy world and our noisy, busy lives. And I have to tell you that I'm starting to get a little jealous of the Israelites in this story. All they had to do was follow the Ark of the Covenant. When you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God being carried by the priests, then you shall set out from your place and follow it. How easy is that? Just keep your eyes on that big fancy box that the priests are carrying, and eventually you will get to the right place. And the disciples, they had Jesus right there in the flesh with them, teaching them, directing them, walking with them. Just stay focused on Jesus and you'll get to the right place. But it's not quite the same for us today. We don't have a big fancy box to follow. We can't touch and see and hear Jesus the way that the disciples could. Yet Jesus promises not to leave his followers as orphans, not to leave us unattended. Shortly before he was arrested and then crucified, Jesus had this to say to his disciples, "I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away." What strange words. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will prove the world wrong about sin and righteousness and judgment. It is to your advantage that I go away. I have always imagined that the disciples did not like to hear those words. To our advantage, how could it be our advantage, Jesus? They were so used to having Jesus with them, in their very midst, walking with them, talking with them, teaching them, that they couldn't imagine what life would be like without him there. But who will teach us, Lord? Who will direct us? Who will walk with us? Maybe we ask some of those same questions. Let's be honest, following God seems so much easier when you've got a big fancy box being carried by some priests in front of you. Following Jesus would be so much easier if the living, breathing human being was right here in front of us, right here with us. Who among us hasn't thought that? And yet we have not been left alone. We are not orphans. We not only have the promise of the Holy Spirit, but we have the presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives and in our church and in our world. 2 weeks ago, we celebrated the day of Pentecost, the day when the promised Holy Spirit comes with power upon the disciples to teach them and direct them and lead them. The promised Holy Spirit that Jesus said cannot come unless I go away. That's why it's to the disciples' advantage. Jesus could only be with the disciples where he was, but the Holy Spirit can be with us here in Carlisle and to the ends of the earth. Holy Spirit, God's earthly presence is here with us now, is here with us today, is in our lives, teaching us, directing us, leading us along the road to our very own promised land, to God's kingdom. Joshua told the Israelites to follow the Ark of the Covenant so that you may know the way you should go. For you have not passed this way before. You have not passed this way before. They are about to enter new territory. And that's wisdom, to follow the ark, to follow God's presence. Following God, following Jesus, often takes us to unexpected places and leads us to meet unexpected people. It might be on a mission trip on the other side of the world, or it might be right here at home on a street in a different neighborhood. Following God, following Jesus, might just take us out of our comfort zones. It might make us uneasy, for we have not passed this way before. The territory is not familiar. Part of following God is trusting God. The way the Israelites trusted God as they followed the ark over the Jordan on dry ground, on dry ground. Part of following God is trusting God, trusting that God knows what he is doing, trusting that God is with us. So where do you experience God's presence? Where do you see and hear and feel God at work? Is it here in worship? I hope so. But I also hope that you see and feel and hear and experience God's presence outside these doors, out in the world, the wide world that God created and that God sustains and that God loves so very deeply. I hope that you experience God in the lives of your family and friends. I hope you see God in the beauty of a lush, green, south central Pennsylvania summer. I hope you find God in times of prayer and scripture reading. And I hope you feel the Spirit's presence when we are gathered together as brothers and sisters in Christ. But when we're following God, we're also likely to experience God's presence in unexpected places, to see and hear and feel God in places we haven't passed by before. In Luke's gospel, we heard, well, let's just call it a strange story, about a man named Legion, who was possessed by a large number of demons. And his life was full of misery and suffering. He lived in the cemetery. He didn't wear clothes. And when they could catch him, those few times they could catch him, the townspeople would chain him up. But invariably, Legion would break free and run back out into the wilderness. When Jesus encountered this man, this Gerasene demoniac named Legion, the man fell down at Jesus' feet and cried out, "What have you to do with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? What have you to do with me?" And Jesus commanded all those unclean spirits, all those demons, to come out of the man. The demons recognized who Jesus was, and they begged Jesus, they begged the Lord not to send them back into the abyss. So strangely, Jesus says, "All right, you see those pigs over there? You can go into that herd of pigs." And the newly possessed pigs, they run down a steep bank and into the lake where they're drowned. That's the weird part. But word quickly spreads, because you don't drown a whole herd of pigs and not have people start to talk about it. Word quickly spreads about what had happened, and the locals, they come out to see Jesus, because this guy is pretty special, obviously. And when they come to see Jesus, they find this man, Legion, healed, sitting at the Lord's feet. He's clothed and he is in his right mind, and the people are afraid of the man. They are afraid of this man who has tormented them their entire lives, this man that they have believed is so dangerous, this man who in their minds is irredeemable. Of all the things that the people of Gadara expected to see that day, they were not expecting to see the town demoniac healed and clothed and in his right mind sitting at Jesus' feet. They were not expecting to experience God's presence, God's grace, God's mercy, God's healing power in the life of this notorious, notorious man. And yet there he sits, clothed and in his right mind. And the Gerasenes walked away that day, ran away because they were afraid of what God had done. They couldn't or wouldn't understand this powerful experience of what it means to be made whole in God's presence. What experiences of God do we pass up when the journey leads us to an unexpected place? What experiences of God do we pass up when the person who's been healed still looks just a little too scary, when we think we know just a little too much about that person? What experiences of God do we pass by in our lives? The journey of faith doesn't always stick to the main roads. Sometimes Jesus leads us off the beaten track to places where we've never been before, to places where we've never passed, on our way to the promised land, on our way to the kingdom. But when we follow Jesus, when we allow ourselves to be led by the Holy Spirit, then we can enjoy the journey, the twists and the turns, the unexpected stops, all the new discoveries. We can enjoy all this and still look forward to arriving at the promised destination. Amen. Let us pray. Lord, on our journey of faith, we trust that you are with us. We trust that you are leading us and directing us and teaching us. So make us aware, Lord, so that we might be able to experience you in this beautiful world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Together, let us affirm what we believe using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated.
As the people of God, we come now a time to pray together, and we can pray with rejoicing this week on the successful surgeries of Janine Light and Jamie Hoffman. Janine is home and recovering. Jamie is doing very well. We also continue to pray for Ray Thomas, who is also home and recovering from his surgery. And pray, keep in your prayers this week, Denise Kelly, as she does have surgery. So as the people of God, let us come together in prayer. Great is your word, O Lord, and great are your works. Each day we breathe in the goodness and beauty of the world you created, and our souls are replenished. For this we are grateful. There are times when our lives lack rhythm and we cannot find the beat. When we lose sight of the horizon and feel our immediate concerns closing in. When we strive hard through our efforts, then seem to amount to nothing. It is at these times, Lord, when we need replenishment, to be as simple as breathing in your love and compassion, breathing in your grace and mercy. Great is your word, O Lord, and great are your works. Your word and works have always been bold. Just as your Son gave bold directions to his disciples, direct us also. For there is much to be done, Lord. There are more than 5,000 to be fed. There are wars to be ended. There are economies to be rebuilt. There are lives that have been displaced and many wrongs to be forgiven. Equip us with the same truths that your Son preached and with the same bold spirit that he accomplished his many deeds, so that we may rely on these truths and your spirit, we too can be bearers of the good news into the world. But your good news is not easy news. It does not make promises of wealth and health. It does not promise us a happy ending. It is the hard and real news of compassion, justice, reconciliation, forgiveness, and the peace of Christ. Set us on the course to pursue these things. And when our pursuits become burdensome, and when we are weary, give us companions with which we can share our load. The Lord, we are grateful that this church is a company of such people. Continue to keep us within reach of one another so that we can offer our help to each other and to the world. Words of encouragement, words in prayer, words of compassion, and our labors of love. In all this, we place our trust and our hope in you, Lord, to be in our efforts and to multiply them, to help us comfort the sick and grieving, to help us inspire and assist those in despair and with doubts, and to help us dance and sing with those who are celebrating and rejoicing. When the day is done, we trust that in your mercy and grace, your word, so much ever greater than our word or our works, will complete what we have left incomplete. For this we hope and pray, and we pray together now as Jesus taught.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And now, as the people of God, let us give as generously as we are able to the work of God. The offering is now part of our worship.
Let us pray together. Almighty and merciful God, from whom comes all that is good, we praise you for your mercies, for your goodness that has created us, your grace that has sustained us, your discipline that has corrected us, your patience that has borne with us, your love that has redeemed us. Help us to love you and to be thankful for all your gifts by serving you and delighting to do your will. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Thank you.
As we go out this day, we have some news, and I will share that, allow Debbie to share that with you.
Oh, thanks. Many times I have been in this church and have said the words, "For every season, there is a time." And the time has come, my dear friends, for me to retire. So I want you to know that I will be here for the next 4 months because I thought Halloween would be the perfect day. Because I've always been a little scary for you, so. But it is time, and my life here has been so complete. You, this congregation, have been my delight of my life. So I thank you, but we have lots of times to celebrate together in the meantime. There's the opportunity.
So, this day, go out into the world in peace and have courage. Hold on to what is good. Return no one evil for evil. Strengthen the faint-hearted, support the weak, help the suffering, honor all people, love and serve the Lord, rejoicing in the power of the Holy Spirit and the blessing of God Almighty. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you now and remain with you always. Amen.